invite you to open your Bibles in respect to the Word of God to Mark chapter 8 and verses 36 and 37. Please remain standing as we will together read from Mark chapter 8 verses 36 to 37. A very familiar verse to all of us. Let's read these two verses together. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Praise God. A good question. What can a man give in exchange for his soul? Praise God. Hallelujah. I pray that God will speak to each one of us this morning. Praise God. Please be seated in the presence of God. Very quickly, I know the time is very limited, but I want to do a couple of things. I want to thank Pastor Ben Thomas for allowing me to come and share his pulpit. As a pastor, I know he is a wonderful preacher, and I know he can preach much better than I am. I can, but I just requested him for a time, and I thank him for graciously giving me this time. The Lord has brought me from Atlanta to this place. I thank the leadership of this church, all the pastors, all the elders. I know some faces which are very familiar to me, but I'm not going to take anybody's names right now because we don't have time for that. But these days, as I was praying about what to speak to this church, I could see that this church is into evangelism, and a lot of it, as I was going through the bulletin, I saw that you all are there. But then what I saw in my spirit is there are quite a number of people who are not knowing why we should evangelize, why we should spread the gospel. And that is the reason I was praying this morning and even the last days of what I should speak. The Lord gave me this word. So my objective this morning is to bring before you and explain in my limited way what is the value of a soul. What is the value of a soul? We need to understand what is truly the value that God puts for every soul upon this world. In a chapel in southern France, there is a great emperor called Charlemagne. He is buried in a very unusual way. He is seated on a marble chair, and he is wrapped on his emperor's clothes, but upon his request. In his lap there is a copy of the New Testament, and from his finger it points to a verse in the Bible, and that is this verse. And the verse says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Praise the Lord. I want us to understand the perspective about how God looks at people. We all know that we are made of body, soul, and spirit. The body is the outer covering. That is a tent or a dwelling place for the soul. There are many verses in the Bible. But when Jesus was talking to the people, he was more concerned with the soul rather than the body, even though Jesus healed many people. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jesus was concerned with the soul of the people. And if you could turn with me to Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 28, Jesus made a very important statement that we should all understand. And the context of the statement is that Jesus said, do not fear who can kill your body, but not able to kill your soul. But you know, you should fear an enemy who is able to kill both your body and your soul. Why did Jesus make that statement? Because the body is temporal, but the soul is eternal. The body will die after a few years. It will be buried under the ground, but the soul will live forever. And it is the period in this world that we have to determine where the soul is going to go. Will the soul go to heaven in the presence of God? Or will the soul go to hell to be in eternal condemnation and judgment and the hellfire?
To understand what really happens, Jesus spoke about a parable about a man called Lazarus and a rich man in Luke chapter 16, verses 20 and 22 and 23. We can see that both of them died. The Lazarus was at the bosom of Abraham, but the rich man, he was being tormented in the flames of fire. Sitting there, being conscious of his surroundings, the rich man called out to Abraham and said, "Father Abraham, can you tell Lazarus to just drench my lips with a drop of water? I am persecuted here. Can I please have one more chance? Can I return back to my brothers and tell them, you have to live for God, otherwise you're going to be ending where I am there today." But what did Abraham, and I don't know if it's a true or a fiction, but Abraham said, "Son, you have already crossed the no turning point. You cannot go back to tell them that they have to live right for God." Let me tell you this morning, and I want to tell each and every one of us, we all do a lot of activity in our daily life, in our weekly life. But how much of our priority is for the soul and for the eternal values? And how much it is for the body? Let us understand how God places the value of a soul. Why does God place so much value on the soul? Because God created man in his own image and likeness. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 and 27, it says that God is not a person with a body, but he is a spirit. And that is a reflection of how he created man. So when God looked at man, and when God saw that man needed a redeemer, and he was not able to redeem himself, he sent his son Jesus Christ to this world. Hallelujah. Do you know what is the value that God places upon a soul? The value was so much that God was willing to give up his son Jesus, who was on his right hand. God said, "Mine, who will go for me? Whom shall I send?" And we see that Jesus said, "I am willing to go to this earth." He traveled through the millions of galaxies to this tiny earth to be born as a baby, to live a life for the purpose that he would die, and he would give his life as a ransom for people.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jesus was willing to come to this earth as a missionary, as the price to be paid for the value of a soul.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
When Jesus asked the question, "What can man give in exchange for his soul?" he answered it himself by his own actions. He said, I'm willing to give up myself. Lo, I am coming to you, God." And he gave himself, he willingly gave himself on the cross. He suffered for the sins of humanity, and he died for us. In fact, God forsook him when he was on the cross, because Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" It is not a pleasant experience for Jesus. But do you know why he did that? He did that because there is a great value for a soul upon this world. Hallelujah. Many of us, being born again, children of God, enjoying the worship and enjoying glorifying God, we are not truly understanding what is a value and what really God wants from me. Praise the Lord. Do you know what really God wants? He wants that the entire world to be saved.
Hallelujah.
How many of you believe that with me? Lift up your hands and just praise God. God wants to save the entire world. John 3:16, our very familiar passage. The other day I was reading that passage as part of my Bible reading. And suddenly a couple of words leapt out of those verses to me. We all know it's a very, very familiar verse. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him, what it says there? Should not God defend for anyone to perish in this world. God doesn't want any man, woman and child to perish in this world. This is what He is His heart's desire. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know that God never wants anyone to perish. If you go back very quickly, let me lead you to the case of Adam and Eve. God drove them from the Garden of Eden after they sinned. You know why? Because God did not want them to be perishing in their sin and eat them from the tree of life. You know what happened during the flood? God did not want everybody to perish. So He got Noah to build an ark to save the people. But nobody would listen to Noah. He could only save his own family of 8 people from an entire world. Everybody perished in the waters. Do you know when God brought the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah? God wanted to save the people. He sent His angels to Sodom. But none would listen to the angels. In fact, the angels had to drag Lot and his family out from Sodom. And only Lot and his daughters could escape the wrath of God's judgment by fire. God doesn't want anyone to perish. My dear brothers, my dear sisters, I know God has brought you from India to this Queen's place. You know, this is a wonderful missionary opportunity that God is giving to each one of you. And the reason why God has brought you is to make you and use you as His witness, as His mouthpiece, to be a helping hand to the people around you. Praise the Lord. This morning, I don't know why I brought this to a Church of God church where people all know the Bible and all that, but let me tell you, truly what God desires more than anything is that everybody to be saved by believing in Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
That is why. And do you know for that? Before Jesus died, Jesus said all authority is given from heaven. He transferred that authority to the people. And Jesus said, you go and wait for the promise of my Father and I will give you the power to fulfill that authority. On the day of Pentecost, God sent the Holy Spirit upon the church with the power. For what? To be witnesses. To be the bearers of the gospel. To be able to tell the good news to the people outside. So now we have both the authority and we have the power. And we have the message. What is the message? That Jesus died for you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. That Jesus died for you. This is the reason the church is existing in the world. Many people have forgotten the reason for their existence. We are, as a church, as the people of God, we are here to fulfill God's plan and His desire that may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Child of God, I don't know how much you are active in presenting Jesus to your friends and your colleagues and your neighbors and your friends. I don't know to whom I'm speaking this morning. But the Lord wants you to know that He wants you to be a representative wherever He has placed you. If you are a nurse in the hospital, that is just an outward guard, but you are truly the missionary who is representing Christ to your patients and to your doctors. Hallelujah! If you are out there in an IT company, know that the next door person who is coding the programs, you are the missionary to that person. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! If you are in a neighborhood, you know that you are God's representative to represent Jesus to other people. So what do we do? As I'm closing, I have a few more minutes here. What do we do as we are leaving this world? Let us focus on what is really important. Let us focus on what is really important. We come to a church, we get revived, we get a message, but we need to go and give that message to the people outside the four walls of this church. We need to be a representative of the cross. Let's turn back to the verse we started here. Mark chapter 8. Jesus started this message by telling people that this is what you need to do. What? You need to be my disciple. More than a member of this church, more than a believer of Christianity, more than it, Jesus wants you to be a disciple. Amen. Just like I took the cross and I obeyed the will of my Heavenly Father, this is what Jesus tells to each one of us. You take up your cross and you follow me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You take up your cross and you follow me. That's what Jesus wants from our life. We are to be the salt and light among the people around us. Let's just turn to one verse at that passage there. Verse number 38. And this is what Jesus says here. After speaking about, you know, what can man give in exchange to his soul, this is what Jesus says. Whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Jesus knew that some of us would shy to speak the gospel. We are too shy. We think, oh, that's an embarrassing thing, you know. How can I speak to somebody about Jesus? Let me just be silent about my faith. Nobody needs to know that I'm a Christian. I'll do my work, I will come back. But these days, this is what God wants us to be. To preach through our words and through our actions. Hallelujah. God does not want anybody to perish. He doesn't want anyone to perish into the hellfire. He wants to save everyone. And we are the instrument that God has chosen to spread the word. Hallelujah. Can we do that? Can we do that from Monday to Saturday when we are outside the church walls and not engage in useless the things of debate and the arguments and anything? This is what God wants us to do these days. Focus on what is really important in the mind of God. This is, I'm speaking God's own heart. This is the greatest message. This is all what we are here for. Let me close here with a story that we all know. You all remember the tragedy of Titanic, right? The great ship that sank in the waters. What I came to know recently during my readings was that Titanic, the greatest tragedy was not that it sank. The greatest tragedy was that more people could have been saved in that shipwreck. Did you know that? I don't know how many of you know about that. There were more than 20 lifeboats and there were life jackets for everyone on that ship. When the ship sank, the lifeboats were lowered. There were some lifeboats that could have contained 50 people. But there were only 5 people sitting in that lifeboat. There would be people lying in the water, crying out for help, saying, "Save me! Put me in the boat next to you." They wouldn't listen to them. You know why? Because they thought that the boat is going to sink when they pull these people into the boat. They could hear the screams of people lying in the water, put on their life jackets, but they had to get into the boat because the waters were freezing. The next day morning when the rescue ships came out there, they found people wearing their life jackets, floating on the water, frozen to death. And there were a few people, and especially the crew, who could escape from that. Hallelujah. Today we are like the people in the boat. This world is sinking. Like the Titanic, Jesus has made a way for our salvation. We are in the boat of salvation. security. But there are people outside who are screaming, take me with you into your boat. Take me with you. I am going to hell. I am going to the eternal fire. But we are complacent. We said, no way. Maybe we will get dirty. We don't want to get the person into the boat. Praise the Lord. Is that the real fact in our life? Let's close our eyes. Let's look to the Lord this morning. I want you to dedicate yourself and be a soul winner. Let this be the biggest priority. Every day when you wake up, say, Lord, can I speak your word to at least one person? Can I go and touch the heart of one person at least, Lord? Let me do your will, Father. Let's pray. Can you pray it yourself? Don't look at anybody, what anybody else is doing. The Lord wants to speak to you directly. You need to be a soul winner. You need to tell others the good news that Jesus came, He has died, and He has risen again. He is coming back very soon. Hallelujah. Can we pray and dedicate ourselves in the hand of God? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful Sunday day. We thank you for speaking your word. Lord, as your servant, I know I have delivered your word that you spoke to me. I pray that you bless and touch every heart that is seated here, Lord, that we may know your heart and your desire for this world, that no one should perish. I pray a blessing over this church. I pray that you expand the boundaries of this church. Make it fruitful and a lighthouse in this place. We thank you for everything. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.